Welcome to Ampersound, a podcast brought to you by the team at Visualist. Ampersound features snippets from our interactive digital magazine, Ampersand. Every episode, we speak to multi-hyphenates who have captivated our minds. We ask them about their code switching, routines, and mindsets. For the full stories, check out ampersand-mag.com. That's ampersand-mag.com. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. Today, I'm joined by producer, interior designer, and all-around hobbyist, Stephanie Purcell. We discuss trying new things, staying true to yourself, and how she achieved her dream of working on the Olympics. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the stories. I like to start, by kind of turning back the clock and learning a little bit more about what your interests were like growing up. So I know you study at the University of Nebraska. Mm-hmm. But before that, before even going to college, what were some of the things that you were interested in as a child? And where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in San Antonio, Texas. And I lived there until about right before middle school. And then we moved to Nebraska. And I was always really involved with like choir and drama and the theater arts. And I always just love trying new things. I always joke that I've tried a lot of sports, but I've never been particularly good at any of them. I've done swimming and figure skating, and I've tried fencing and diving and ballroom dancing, but never was, you know, an elite athlete, any of those things. I just really like trying new and different experiences. And so I think that my background in theater and drama is kind of what led me to my degree in broadcasting when I went to college. And I started out in news. I thought I was going to be a news producer. And then I got an internship on The Late Show with Letterman my senior year of college. And then I was like, oh, no, entertainment is where it's at. And so I just kind of naturally transitioned into reality TV projects and documentaries, and it's just kind of grown from there. So that's kind of how I got my start in producing.
Yeah, amazing. You mentioned that you were trying lots of different things, trying different sports, trying different interests. I also noticed that on your Instagram, you call yourself a hobbyist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are your hobbies now?
Yeah, so it just changed. I just love trying new things. And I think that's where the hobbyist comes in, is like, I'll just look at like random Groupons or like just search things on the internet, things to do around, you know, town, and just like anything that I think looks particularly interesting, I'll just try. So, you know, right now I've been really busy with work, so I haven't had a lot of free time to do stuff, but I've looked into like painting and ceramics lately, is something that interests me. Just anything new to try. I always say, you know, I'll try it at least once, just see how it goes. If I like it, I'll continue with it. If not, then I'll just try something else. So
right. Amazing. I'm going to talk about your day job a little bit. So you just covered the Olympics. You just worked on the Olympics. What was that experience like? You mentioned that you've always wanted to work on the Olympics. Why is that so?
Yeah, well, when I was little, I remember watching the Barcelona Olympics with Shannon Miller as a gymnast, and I just knew I was going to be the next Shannon Miller. I've actually never taken a gymnastics class in my life, so that dream had to be modified a little. And then, I've tried lots of sports, but I've never stuck with anything long enough. So that's been modified over the years. And then when I got into like TV and broadcasting, I was like, this is a great way to still get to be a part of it and still be a part of that history and get to experience those moments without necessarily being an athlete or a spectator. And so that's how that dream started. And so I've just wanted to do it ever since, probably like, well, you know, I wanted to be part of the Olympics since I was like five, but then the dream of like working it as far as like in the TV background, probably since like high school. So.
Oh, wow. What was your day to day like during the Olympics?
It wasn't too hectic, which was nice. I was working on a show that dealt a lot with like highlights and big moments. And so we were clipping just a lot of material, like looking for you know, obviously like the big moments like Simone Biles, you know, looking off the floor, a lot of great wins like Caleb Dressel, Katie Ledecky in swimming, just looking for those big sort of gold medal moments and putting them together into packages and a show that we had airing yesterday, actually returned to Tokyo. So
you mentioned earlier that in college you got to work on the late night show with David Letterman. Mm-hmm. Was that one of the most formative experiences of your college? What was it like?
Yeah, that was great. That was a dream job. That was one of those things where I just applied and was like, I'll never hear back, you know, just putting it out there. I'm sure I won't hear anything. And I actually got a call, and I had applied for the summer internship, and I got a call, and they were like, due to the massive amount of applications, we weren't able to get to yours. Can we roll you over to the fall? And I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. I'm not going to hear anything again. Like, that was their nice way of saying, thank you, no. and then I actually did get a call for an interview, and it was great. I just getting to be there, and the way they did the interviews is you interviewed with every department. So it was a couple hours long, but you got to like see all the different departments and all the different areas of, you know, Ed Sullivan Studios. And so just the interview itself was so exciting for me, having never done anything like that. And then I ended up getting the internship, and it was great. I hadn't lived in New York before. I fell in love with the city. I fell in love with the show. It was just amazing. And then it was 2008, the economy took a hit, and then there was the writer's strike and the show shut down. And so I came back to Nebraska and wasn't able to continue the show. So yeah, but it was a great experience, and it was a great resume builder for sure.
Yeah. So you've been interested in so many different things all your life. Mm-hmm. How did you settle on majoring in communications, studying, well, I guess settling on going into TV production? Was there any part of you that's always thinking, oh, I want to try this thing, or that sounds interesting?
Well, I think part of the reason that it appealed to me so much is just I get to work on so many different shows, especially as a freelancer. And so it kind of scratches that itch of like, you know, one week I'm working on a DIY show for Home Depot, and then the next week I'm working on the Olympics, and, you know, and then the next week I'm working on, you know, a show about felons for, you know, reality TV. And so I get to do a lot of different things. I'm not necessarily stuck in one genre or one specific job, and I'm not at that, you know, cubicle every day. So I think that's part of why it appeals to me.
Is that something that you actively avoid, like being boxed in into one genre?
Yeah. I mean, I love the opportunity to travel and get to try new things. And so when I'm looking for a job, especially as a freelance producer, once a gig ends, I'm unemployed again. So I'm looking for the next job. Mm-hmm. I really just kind of base it off of, okay, well, what sounds interesting to me right now? Like, what do I want to be looking for that next gig? And so, I wouldn't say I'm actively pursuing not to get boxed in. I'm just pursuing what I think appeals to me at that moment.
Yeah. How long have you been freelancing?
So I started freelancing, I'm trying to remember now. So I graduated from college in 2008, and then I ended up at a marketing job for about 4 or 5 years.
Oh.
And then I was like, you know, this isn't what I had gone to school for. It's not what I want to pursue. And so I had gotten married at that time, and I talked to my husband, was like, you know, I really want to try this path and pursuing it 100%. And so I moved out to LA in 2015, 2016, somewhere around there, and then have just been freelancing since then.
Wow. How did you ready yourself for that transition into freelance life? I mean, you were leaving, I suppose, mm-hmm. what was a very stable job, moving to a completely different city and just putting yourself out there. What was it like to start?
I think I was just so – I felt like I had not been pursuing what I had wanted to be pursuing for the last couple of years, that by the time I hit that point, I was just so ready to like make that leap and go. Like, I just had that, like, okay, I'm just so ready to go out there and do this. Like, you know, I wasn't necessarily nervous. I was just ready to go, to start this new transition, I was just so excited about it that I think that I didn't have maybe the hesitation or the nervousness that maybe I should have had. So, and I did know a couple people out in LA already, so that was very comforting, and that makes it a lot easier too when you know people as well. I had a very supportive husband too, which helps. So he actually stayed in Nebraska because his job was there, and I was out in LA. So for 5 years, we lived in different states, commuting back and forth. Because when I had first gone out to LA, we're like, well, I'll give it like 6 months. I'll see if I can even get a job or find a job. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up getting work, and then, you know, that job would end, and then I'd get another job and another one. And so it just ended up progressing, and 6 months turned into, you know, 4 or 5 years. And so about a year ago, we were reassessing before COVID hit, and we're like, we should probably live together again. And so he wasn't thrilled about the idea of LA. He had just decided to transition into real estate investing. And so he had allowed me to go and pursue my dreams. I wanted to be able to help him be in a market where he could pursue his dreams. And so we decided to move to Atlanta about a year ago. And so now we're living together again and both pursuing our passions, which is great.
Amazing. Did you feel like you were making up for lost time?
Yes, absolutely. I felt like I was starting behind maybe my peers that I had graduated with. Like, and so I felt like I was trying to catch up.
And what did that mean? Like, what did that mean for the way you were working or just how you went about getting those jobs, etc.?
I think it just gave me an extra drive, like an extra inner fire that like I'm 5 years behind my peers. Like, I need to get going. I need to like build that resume, get back out there. And just really, I felt like I didn't have time to waste. And so it just made every day that hustle was there.
So I want to talk about your, how you got into interior design. So you've obviously got, you know, quite, I guess, a creative artistic background. So you did like drama, theater, arts, but interior design, that's a whole completely different thing. How did you fall into that, or how did you step into that?
Yeah, so that was actually because of my husband. He, like I mentioned, has recently started getting into real estate investing in the last couple of years. And so he's acquired some properties and we're renting them out, and we've gotten a couple Airbnbs. And so when we were starting out, we didn't have, you know, the funds to like hire all these contractors and decorators. And so he's like, hey, you've got a creative eye. Can you like stage these places and decorate them for me? And I was like, sure, why not? I had no idea what I was doing. But I ended up liking it and enjoying it. And so I thought, well, okay, well, I should probably get some training and figure out a little bit more about what I'm doing, get some confidence in the area. So I got certification in it, and I started just doing it on the side, not just with my husband, but just doing it online. I found that I could do a lot of design consultation online, which is great because if I'm traveling or for work, I can do it from anywhere. And because I'm freelance, you know, there's periods in between where I'm unemployed. And so it's just a great way to kind of fill those gaps. So that's just how it started. And it's just kind of grown from there.
So was it would you characterize it as quite an accidental foray?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I had no intention of going. I hadn't necessarily thought about it, and it just kind of happened. And then I ended up enjoying it and being able to turn it into this little side hustle.
Yeah. What kind of joy does it give you doing interior design?
It's great because it's a completely different field, right? Like it's not like TV. And so it's great to have something that's completely separate from that. It's just kind of like a break and a different creative outlet. It's a lot more artistic, I think, in some ways than TV can be. And so it's just fun. You know, I get to look at patterns and colors and all day, which is very different. And so it's just a great artistic outlet, I think, that's not like what I'm normally doing. And that's fun. You know, that's the fun in it.
Do you consider TV your day job? Do you consider it a creative outlet? Do you consider it a creative role?
I think it is creative, but it's creative in a very different way. you're dealing a lot more with like stories, and I deal a lot with reality TV and documentaries. So you're dealing a lot with like personal experiences and stories, and finding that storyline and that thread, and meeting people and just kind of getting welcomed and experienced into their life and their experiences and what they're doing. And so I guess it's more of an emotional aspect of the creative world, I sometimes feel like, whereas like the interior design is a lot more like textile and visual, and not that TV isn't visual as well, but it's just a different kind of creativity, a different kind of creativity.
Yeah. Is there any connection between them? Does one feed the other, or are they completely separate in your mind?
It's interesting because I found that they have actually fed each other. Once I started doing interior design, then I kind of started getting more into like home reno type stuff. Like right now I'm also working on DIY videos for Home Depot, which, you know, feeds a lot into the interior design aspect. It's kind of like a mesh of both worlds. So it's kind of been interesting how one has sort of fed the other.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing interior design?
I started my company back in, I want to say 2018. I think it was 2018 when I started my company, and I had started just doing stuff for like my husband and taking classes a year or two before then. So, yeah.
Wow. Was there a moment that you came to that you decided, okay, I'm going to start my company? Or was it like quite a slow roll thing?
I feel like it was just a natural progression. I was doing it for my husband, and he was like, hey, you know, you could do this for other people too. And you know, like I said, there's downtimes in between my day job. And so I'm usually trying to find something to fill the gaps, or, and it was like, I could be doing this. I could find other clients. And so I started with a company called Decorist, which they pretty much find the clients for you, and you just sign up on their, you know, as one of their designers. And so that's how it started. And then I realized, okay, well, I did that for 1 or 2 years. And then I was like, I could do this on my own, I think. And so I started my own company and started doing it for myself.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What's been the scariest part about having your own design company?
I feel like art's vulnerable, right? And so you always worry, oh, people are going to hate my designs, or they're not going to like what I did. And that really hasn't been the case. I feel like if you're communicating well with your client from the start, you can get a good handle of what they like and they don't like. And so sure, there's things that you change, or like an item here or there, or, you know, there's check-ins along the way to make sure you're on the right track. But there's always that fear that they're going to, you know, I'll be called out. People will think I'm a fake, or they will, you know.
Well, so many things I want to touch on there. Do you ever have that fear in your day job?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's always the fear that people aren't going to like your work, or they'll feel like you're not competent enough. I guess that imposter syndrome.
What about catching up? You mentioned that, you know, when you went into TV, when you moved to LA, mm-hmm. you felt like you had to catch up because you were behind by 5 years. Mm-hmm. In interior design, has that ever been something that crossed your mind?
For interior design, I've never felt like I've been catching up, I guess because it wasn't my main focus. It's always just been like this great side hustle that I fell into. Yeah. I feel like because producing has always been my primary focus, I've probably put a lot more pressure on myself on that role than I do the interior design. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you took on this side hustle, when this passion project became like a full-fledged project, mm-hmm. Did that change your perspective of how you were viewing like TV production, your day job? Did it make the day job, did you give yourself less pressure now because you have this other hobby that turned into a full-fledged thing?
I don't know. I feel like the pressure's still there that I put on myself. Yeah, I don't know that that's necessarily really changed. It's a different field too. I feel like, you know, the TV and entertainment industry is very cutthroat. I feel like in some ways it can be a lot harder to break in that area.
Yeah. Does that pressure stem from your like innate character? Like, have you always been the type to, you know, to set high expectations for yourself and give yourself that pressure?
Yeah, I feel like I've always had pretty high expectations. I've always been called stubborn, and so I think that that's definitely part of it. I know that I'm the one putting the pressure on myself. Nobody else is. I know that it's just stemming from me alone, and so there are times when I have to take a step back and be like, "You're doing fine."
What were some of the most memorable projects or your favorite projects that you've done recently, except the Olympics?
Right. Yeah, the Olympics was great. That was a great one. I feel very fortunate. I've gotten to work on some really great projects. I got to work on a documentary on the inauguration of Barack Obama, which was great. And we went down to DC and got to see, you know, the inauguration live. And that was a really great experience, great moment in history that I got to witness and be a part of and, you know, record as well. And then also I've gotten to do some really great live events as well. I got to do the European Championships in Glasgow, which was a wonderful opportunity.
Oh.
The festival producer for that, which is great. So I got to see all the artistic acts that came through on the festival stage, which was wonderful. And then, of course, just getting to be in Glasgow in Europe for, you know, 2-3 months.
Oh, wow. 2-3 months.
Yeah. So we did a lot of prep work for that. And we went over for, several weeks beforehand to get everything ready and do the show. And most recently, I helped with a documentary on adapted athletes, a wheelchair basketball team out of Alabama, college team. That was really great to see. It was so, so great to see those athletes. They were so inspiring and just hearing their stories. And that was really fun. That was just a fun project for me. I've had a lot of great, great experience. I feel very blessed. So
yeah, your experiences seem to really be so diverse. I mean, a lot of sports. You mentioned you're doing a lot more reality TV recently. And I think you've been in TV for very long now. And what do you think is like the biggest thing you've learned about yourself from working in TV, working in production?
I think in the TV and the entertainment field, it's easy to lose sight of who you are and your morals and what's important to you. I think a lot of times, sometimes it can be very superficial. It's not real life, right? And it's easy to get wrapped up into it and think that this is the norm, and it's not. And so I've learned that you have to stay grounded. It's good to have people around you who know you for who you are and not for what you do and what you work on and are, you know, able to bring you back down to the ground, to reality. And just knowing what's important to you. And also, it's a difficult field, not that other fields aren't, but it's very difficult. And sometimes it's easy to feel like, this is my one chance. This is my one opportunity. If I don't say yes to this, then I'm going to lose my chance. And I think that that's something I struggled with early on. And so I took some jobs that were not a good fit because of that, because I felt like, well, if I don't, then I'm not going to have a career. I'm never going to be able to go on to the next thing. And I think that you're given lots of opportunities in life. I don't think there's just one big chance, make it or break it moment. I think there are lots of moments along the way. And so you just have to know that it's okay to say no sometimes too to projects.
I love that. It's okay to say no. Are there, when you work on your interior design side of things, do you have any sort of that same sense of learning about yourself, or like light bulb moments, like you just mentioned with TV, your experience in the TV and entertainment world?
I guess I view the interior design for me as a little bit less stress in some aspects. I also feel like because I have my own company, I get the freedom of choosing my clients and choosing when I work. And so, you know, like when I was working the Olympics, I wasn't taking on any clients because I hadn't, that was my focus. And so I get a lot more flexibility in say in what I want to do and when I want to do it. And so it's a little bit more relaxed for me in that aspect, I think.
Yeah. What's been the biggest surprise about running your own interior design company?
The thing for me that always feels overwhelming is the actual business side, like the taxes and, you know, the figuring out the fees and, you know, what should I charge and what's a good rate and, you know, or the logistical side of the finances and, cause you know, you just want to create things and have fun and, you know, do the art, but you also have to, you know, be a good business person as well and be smart about the money and the choices that you're making. So.
Right. Do you travel a lot for work for your, well, not in the past year, but.
Right. I used to. Yeah, for sure. Especially because I'm freelance. It opens up a lot more job opportunities if I can be mobile, if I can say, yeah, I can work in Austin or yeah, I can work in New York or.
So do you enjoy the traveling?
Sorry?
Do you enjoy the traveling?
I love it. It's one of my favorite parts of the job. I like traveling because I feel like, especially for work, because they're usually longer contracts. So it gives me an opportunity to see what it would be like to live there, not necessarily just like on vacation. I got to do a job in Abu Dhabi two years ago, which, you know, the Middle East isn't necessarily someplace that if, you know, if I were traveling, I'd be like, oh, I want to go to Abu Dhabi. I'd probably choose Italy or something a little more obvious, I guess. And so it was good because I got to experience and see this part of the world that I maybe wouldn't have seen otherwise. And I can live there for 2 months. And so that's fun for me.
You travel, I guess you used to travel so much for work and your home base is in Georgia now.
Yes.
Am I right? Atlanta. How do you find it easy to just slip in and out of like your different projects or slip in and out of Atlanta and like move, you know, be somewhere temporarily for 2 or 3 months and then come back to Atlanta and like feel like home again?
Yeah, that's never really been difficult for me. But also, I have a great home unit. You know, my husband's fantastic. He takes care of the house and the dogs when I'm gone. And when I come back, it's just a great homecoming, you know? It's wonderful to just be back and have our house and our dogs and my husband. And, you know, I think he's a big part of that.
Wow. So, looks like you're an actor, a model, interior designer, TV producer. What else would you consider yourself to be?
Oh gosh, I don't know. I like I said, I just like trying new things, and you know, and I find that if you find something and you love it, then a lot of times you can find ways to monetize it. So you know, opportunities open, and so I just go with it.
I think I read in one of your websites or articles that you, when you were in college, you also started a ballroom dancing club.
I did, yeah. My best friend and I, they had a class. It was a ballroom dancing class you could take just as like an elective. And she was like, "We should do this." I was like, "Yeah, let's do it. It'll be fun." And it was really fun. And there were a couple of us, other people in the club that really enjoyed it. And so after the class, we were like, well, we should just continue this. And so we started a club and we would get together and we'd dance and we'd also, you know, around town they'd have like salsa night or Latin night, you know? And so we'd get together and we'd go to these dances and It was fun. It was just really fun.
Do you still dance now?
I don't. I taught for a little bit.
Oh, wow.
After college, just like as a part-time job, and then, you know, life and work, and got busy with that. So I haven't really done it since then. And my husband doesn't dance, so he, you know, makes it a little bit harder.
Wow. I'm just so curious, like, what is the next hobby that you might pick up?
I don't know. Like, I usually just stumble upon things, and then I'm like, oh, that would be fun to try. And then I'll try it and either like it or I don't. Yeah. I still swim. I still like to go swimming. I don't do competitively or anything. Mm-hmm. I have been taking an adult jazz dance class. That's been fun. So yeah.
Yeah. Love it.
With the Olympics, I was looking into like adult beginner gymnastic classes. So
yeah.
I found a class though, but if I do, I'll let you know.
Yeah. Wow. Time to realize that childhood dream of being.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to be the next Shannon Miller, but I could maybe learn to do a cartwheel straight. So.
That's amazing. Yeah. You mentioned earlier you covered the World Gymnastics Championship.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Wow, it looks like gymnastics is really
it's like a theme. It keeps
going. Yeah. Yeah.
It's really I like watching. You're
just telling me something. Amazing. Thank you so much, Stephanie. It was so wonderful to chat with you. And I think we got a lot of great content. Thank you so much for your time.